together. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special Sanskrit mantra that speaks to your soul.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power.
Danae, and welcome to the Know Your Crazy Show. You are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. And today I am just feeling like, have you been dealing with other people's crazy? And if so, what do you do with it? Have you ever felt as if someone else's crazy was spilling over into your psyche? Did you become confused, almost like a WTF? Or am I nuts? Did they really just do that? And what do you do with the emotions resulting in the aftermath of witnessing or experiencing their crazy? How do you calm down? Do you reflect? How do you not blow up at them? Or do you blow up at them and feel better? If any of this resonates with you, then please stay tuned today for this hour-long show as I am going to be talking about what to do when you're dealing with other people's crazy. You know, there's a saying in the rooms of recovery that we often laugh at where it's, you know, if only people would behave the way I want them to behave, my life would be so much better. I would have no problems if everybody just did what I said. Life would be good. We all know that's not reasonable, but it is kind of a sweet thought. You know, if everybody behaved like they should, my life would probably be quite fantastic. You know, it's those other people, it's those relationships in our life that we have to learn to play nice with. And how do we do that on a regular basis? A lot of us in sobriety have come from, you know, a background that is less than desirable. And we've blown up relationships, we've cheated on relationships, we've lied in relationships, we have emotionally manipulated in relationships. I mean, we've been the crazy other people have had to deal with. And then we recover from that. And then now and then we're in our little state of bliss and peacefulness. Somebody comes along and kind of takes a big old crap on your day. That's the only way I can say it, because that happened to me today. Be careful what you wish for when you're in your meditation and quiet time. Mine today was like, you know, a higher power, I really need a topic today. I am like writer's block. I'm not sure what to talk about. I'm just, it's nothing's there. Nothing's there. I've talked about a lot of stuff on the show. What do I talk about? So I gather up myself this morning. I'm going through my routine and I think, you know, I think I'll go to a meeting this morning, a recovery meeting. You know, I think I'll go to a meeting. So I go to the meeting this morning. Great, fantastic meeting. I'm having a great day. I'm jamming out to my music on the way there. All is well, you know, a sponsee of mine's there. You know, she sits down next to me and I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe this is why I was being inspired to go to the meeting today. Oh, no. It came after the meeting when somebody approached me and said, you know, there's a rumor going on about you. And now these are rooms of sobriety. You know, we like to be proud of our sober time, you know, how many years we have. It takes a lot. I mean, we're proud of one day. But when you string along some years of sobriety, that does take a continuous effort. At least it does for me, because, you know, I like to stay in an emotional, shall I say, peaceful state the majority of the time. It's not always like that, because life is life, like today, like this morning. And there are opportunities to emotionally grow. And today I got one of those. And so as I looked at this individual and I thought, one, I really don't care if there's a rumor going about me. Like, you know, I talk a lot. I got this show. I'm sure people have opinions and whatever. But then this person continues. They want to talk more about this rumor. The rumor was that I had relapsed at some point in my sobriety, and I have not. And if I had, that'd be okay because I'm a recovered alcoholic. Sometimes alcoholics go back out. It's kind of, you know, that should not be an abnormal thing in the rooms of recovery. But when you haven't gone back out and somebody's saying you've gone back out, oh, let's see how that feels. Well, it doesn't feel warm and fuzzy. It kind of made me chuckle today because I had to ask myself, are you seriously worried about your reputation in AA? I mean, if that's the bar you're shooting for, you might want to check that. This is my own conversation with myself. But dude, I got infuriated. Like I was infuriated and I was flabbergasted. And as this was happening and I'm gaining my composure and I'm not losing my you know what, and I'm kind of like, well, okay, you know, I've got the one little side of me being like, this ain't my stuff. I know I'm good. But then this other little side of me saying, well, that's not right. And that's not fair. And how long's that been going on? And who the hell, blah, 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 right? So that's what I'm talking about. What happens when somebody comes along, you're having a sweet old day, handling things to the best of your ability. In fact, you feel good about how you're handling things. You feel happy about how you're handling things. And then suddenly somebody just, here you go, here you go. What do you do? And if you're anything like me on any level, you might have a little bit of an emotional disturbance. Now, emotional disturbances can witness themselves in different types of ways. Mine, I will be out loud and kind of verbal. When that happens to me, the first thing I need to do is find somebody to call. God bless them. I hope they pick up the phone so that I can vent and let this steam off my chest. Other symptoms of emotional disturbances might be some anxiety, some fear, some internalizing, as if you did something wrong yourself, questioning yourself. Self-doubt may creep in. Different things are different symptoms for different people when it comes to emotional disturbances. But when you have an emotional disturbance, you are well aware of it. What do you do about it? What do you do about it? So in today's show, I'm going to be talking a little bit about, I'm using this one as an example, but I know there are many real life examples. Sometimes it's the cable company that you want to throttle. Sometimes it's places. It's the guy who steals the parking spot. You know, you're both pulling in at the same time and they take it. Sometimes it's that person. Other times it's family. You're having a great day and the partner comes home and craps all over your day for whatever reason and it feels awful. What do you do about that? And so what do you do with other people's crazy? All right, so starting out, I'm going to just make sure I'm going to check myself here on my time. All right, so starting out, being aware of what the inside feeling, and I'm going to call that inside feeling is betrayal. It does not mean that the emotion needs to logically make sense. I want to make sure I reiterate that to you. When you are having an emotional disturbance within you, it does not need to make sense. That means that logic is probably not going to apply. That means when we have our amygdala hijacked by an emotional disturbance, one that's overpowering us in any way, we are not in a state where we are going to logically think. In fact, we are likely going to be emotionally or just physically reacting, sometimes with our thoughts, sometimes with our words, and worst case scenarios, maybe physically in some way, but we're not doing worst case on this show. We're just going to talk about the usual everyday occurrences for the majority of people out there. So what do you do? So one, you got to learn how to identify the emotional disturbance within you. I can tell you today as this was happening, what was going on within me was I felt that surge of irritation. I felt kind of like the heart pounding a little bit. I was aware that this was affecting me. And I was actually kind of shocked by it because this same rumor, it was like 5 years ago, this stuff came up. So the fact that it had resurfaced, one, I'm going to talk more about this, but I kind of found it interesting that it came back up today. But two, I was well aware of the physical sensations I was having. And so what do I do with that? What do I do with that? My first immediate reaction, and this is one that I encourage everyone to do when we're suffering emotional disturbances, And we feel like, especially when we feel like we are not at fault or that someone else is too, someone else needs boundaries, someone else, and we don't have the tools in the moment to set those boundaries, maybe because we are taken off guard. Sometimes we don't have the appropriate words because we're taken off guard. Like we're just, you know, I'm not somebody who's sitting here practicing my relationship scripting every day of my life. And even though I've trained it and I've taught it and all the above, when it's personally impacted on me, I personally too lose the right words to use. In this particular situation for me, I tend to ask questions. I just don't settle anymore. I become curious when someone's bringing something up that feels really toxic. It feels really toxic. And this today felt toxic. So I identify the feeling. And then I ask myself, what do I want to say? Well aware of what's going on within me. After I ask my questions of the individual in this particular scenario, as I mentioned before, I'm aware of the emotional upheaval. And so the next thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to call somebody and see if somebody's available to either listen to me vent. Because quite honestly, when my emotional disturbances are taking place, I don't know about you, there's usually not a lot of, like, I don't want to figure it out right now. I just want you to listen to my wrath. I want to call it venting because I think it's okay when we vent. I think it's okay when we feel anger. I think it's okay when we have our feelings hurt. I don't believe everything needs to be analyzed in the moment. I think there's an outlet that needs to happen. And so find the outlet, whether that's calling someone, whether that's journaling, it might be yelling in your car. I've done that before, rolled up the windows and just yelled because I was so upset and so angry. The point is, I've got this emotional upheaval within me, and now I'm wanting to find something to do with it other than to harbor it and to carry it with me. Once the emotions begin to calm down, thinking it all the way through, and I'm a little bit, you know, careful with this, but some of the inventory questions, and I'll call them inventory questions that I would ask myself in the middle of the upheaval or shortly thereafter when I've separated myself from the other person's, let's just say, motive, maybe the other person's inappropriate questioning, something they did or said did not feel appropriate. It wasn't an argument. It's almost like somebody just comes along and plants it on you. And so after I've kind of let it out a little bit in whatever the way I was going to express my initial, you know, betrayal feeling, then I'm going to take a look and I'm going to be asking myself to think it all the way through. Like, be careful not to attach what I think the other person's motive is. Be careful not to attach that I think I know what's happened. The stories that can immediately plant in between the ears are the ones that I watch for. Most of the stories that I'm telling myself have been from years of experience or happenings to me. And so those stories don't necessarily work all the time. And the reason those stories don't work all the time is because if I'm feeling an emotional upheaval, if you're feeling an emotional upheaval, then the story that you've been telling yourself around whatever the situation is with the person that you're in contact with is likely an outdated story. For example, my story today that I had to be careful not to attach to was, what were my thoughts around the idea of gossiping? What's the story that I tell myself about gossiping? How far back does it go? Has it happened to me before? What's the story I tell myself about reputation? In this regard, my reputation might be a little bit slandered, right? What is the story I'm telling myself about reputation? What is the story I'm telling myself about the individual who, in my opinion, is the other crazy that I'm being confronted with? What is the story that I have about this individual? Likely, there's been a history with this individual. Maybe it's a year, maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's the father of your children, maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your father, but there's usually a story that is accompanying the person that you're dealing with. So I kind of, after I've calmed down a little bit, I really take a look at, okay, what is the story I'm telling myself around this situation? And there's different branches of that story, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a short break. And if I've got you on the hook, I want you to stick around after break, because what I'm going to be doing is, what do we do with that story And what's the next step once we've kind of asked ourselves these questions? And these are just questions we're asking ourselves. I'm not looking for a big drawn out 80-page article to be written. This is all a quick inventory that you take. All right. Okay, so if you are interested in more tools and tips and more insight into how to deal with other people's crazy, please stay tuned. I will be back shortly and I will continue the show and give you some more feedback. Be back shortly.
Crystal Coach Show, sharing clarity, guidance, and practical wisdom with me, Anahata, every first and third Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. On The Crystal Coach Show, we channel divine wisdom through stories of service, spirituality, and stones for self-care. Feel connected and reside in the vibration of love. For more information and to connect with me, visit TheCrystalCoach.com. That's TheCrystalCoach.com.
Here's a quick tip from Jason and Patricia at the Ecosystem Approach Show. This is a new way to approach self-help.
See all problems, challenges, and objectives as energy issues. Determine the energies that are blocking you and remove them. Instead of asking, what do I do? Ask what energies are blocking me.
Say to yourself, I direct all my resources in all dimensions to eliminate. Name the emotions that are blocking you. Some form of fear, insecurity, anxiety.
Take a breath and blow the barriers, the negative energies blocking you, into the processor behind us. Keep doing it.
If you want to hear about our show, A New Way to Approach Self-Help, go to our website, theecosystemapproach.org, and under the radio tab, search for Is Self-Help Obsolete?
Listen to all of our shows because we teach you how to apply energy techniques for everyday life in ways that are practical and useful.
See you Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific or find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Are you struggling with body image, aging, or grief? Hi, I'm Dr. T, and here to support you through life's challenging experiences. I specialize in offering valuable insights into the unique struggles and triumphs that accompany these sensitive topics. My expertise and compassionate approach ensure that you will feel supported and understood. Learn how you can receive guidance tailored to your specific needs and concerns. Visit me, Dr. T, at ccwithdrt.com.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's DENEE.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Denae, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. And today's topic, what do you do in dealing with other people's crazy? What's it like when you're having a good old day, you think you're doing everything appropriately, and suddenly somebody comes along and just craps on your day? That's how I'm putting it today. Because that's what it feels like sometimes. Like, did I really just experience that? Like, I woke up all happy camper, doing my thing, and then here you come. What the heck happened? That was my experience this morning with the situation personally. It inspired me to talk about this on the show because, as you know, if you've been listening to me for a while, I am passionate about the quality of our relationships and how we learn to play nice with others, not only to be a kind and loving individual, eventually, you know, getting to that point in our relationships, but also because it just feels better to have healthy relationships. And sometimes in order to get there, we have to do different tips and tricks and in order to kind of keep our sanity and learn where we stop and they begin and vice versa. And in the middle of all that relationship development, you know, where do we set our limits? How do we express our limits? How do we take our own inventory and ask ourselves quality questions that are going to help us kind of decipher and get through it? And when do we understand that we don't have to depend on only our head when it comes to challenging situations. If you were listening to me for the first few minutes of the show, I was simply telling a story where somebody had approached me this morning talking about a situation that somebody had gossiped about me. And although this was an old rumor that had shared, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember the details. Today, it hit me wrong. I did not appreciate the person bringing it to my attention. I questioned their motive. I got to question myself. And that's kind of where I left off, was when we have the emotional upheavals in our day, no matter where it comes from, and it disturbs us, we have an emotional disturbance. We get to ask ourselves a few questions. That is, if you're in a position to do so. So the first thing was, put yourself in a position so that you can gain a little bit of clarity when these upheavals happen, because they will. It could be you get some bad news in the mail. Maybe you get a bill you weren't expecting. Maybe a kid drops a big one on you. Maybe, you know, like today, somebody took me off guard. You know, it could be a baby mama, baby father that upsets you. It's an ex. It could be a parent. They tend to tug on our strings a little bit more than others. Could be a coworker, a boss. I mean, the list, you know, ad infinitum, right? So, but what happens when it occurs and we find ourselves personally, I'm just going to use the words insulted, or it feels like personal betrayal, and that emotional disturbance hits, as much as we'd like to apply logic, we are absolutely not in a state of doing so. And I can give you the scientific, you know, amygdala hijacked, and, you know, we're falling back into our primitive state, and we can't think, you know, we can't think clearly because we're in a survival fight or flight mode. And so how do we calm that down? And our vagus nerve, if you want, you know, me to go into that direction, but how do we calm that down enough so that we can actually think and process in a healthy way? The first tip that I gave in the beginning of the show was simply reach out and talk to somebody. Let it out, vent. It's okay to be angry. It's okay. And I really encourage people, take the filter off. If you spend most of your days filtering what you say and how you say it, even to your closest confidants, likely you're not going to get that ick out of you. If you haven't had somebody in your life that you can fully, authentically be yourself, find somebody. Quit being so scared of that. We all have to have friends, in my opinion, or close relationships in our life that we can call and be like, hey, I just need to vent right now. I'm not looking to be fixed, but I got to get this off my chest. Clear that channel of emotional disturbance to the best of your ability. And the reason that is so important is because you want to come back into the picture and say to yourselves, okay, now I get to ask myself some of these inventory questions. I get to kind of look at this a little bit from a different perspective to the best of my ability right now to see if I can bring some peace into the moment as I am seemingly dealing with somebody else's stuff. As we know, even if it's somebody else's stuff, if it emotionally disturbs us, something's getting triggered on the inside. And that's the piece we get a look at. If you've been watching me for a while and you log into this show, you know I'm always going to come right back to what is your part, not in a self-deprecating way, not in a doormat, you need to, you know, slug along in life, none of that, but literally, where is the intrinsic clarity for you so that you can find more peace and satisfaction within yourself and therefore spill over to relationships regardless of who comes along during the day and says something rude or something kind of just icky is how I would put it. So the question is, you know, thinking it all the way through. And I ended the first few minutes saying, what was the story that you're telling yourself about the situation? Asking yourself what the story is a very, to me, it's like one of the best ways to get to the root of the disturbance. For example, and I went into this a little bit before break, you know, what was the story of the individual that confronted me today and said this? What was my beliefs about that person? What were my beliefs about a reputation, my reputation in my home group? What were my beliefs about betrayal? What were my beliefs about just gossip, you know? And then there was also this piece because of the rumor surfacing around somebody saying I relapsed. I don't know, five or so, I don't even know what they're saying, but I relapsed and I did not. But what is my belief in the story that I'm telling myself around relapse? And that's an interesting question for anybody in the rooms or anybody in sobriety. You know, do you attach shame to that? Do you attach, and I'm going to talk a lot about this before the show's over, grace to that? Like, what is it that the story is bringing up for you? So whatever the emotional disturbance is, take a look at who it is And then take a look at what's being represented within that interaction. To me, it was reputation today, a little bit of ego probably kicking in there, and I had some fear around it. And that would be the next question. You know, as you're looking at the story, what part of that story is affecting me the most? Why is this scenario affecting me? What am I afraid of? Am I afraid of not getting what I want? Or am I scared of losing something that I have? And I guess if I broke this scenario down as just an example, I'd be scared of losing something that I had. Maybe that was attached to that story around reputation. I don't know. I was also worried about what a rumor like that may do to affect the women that I work with, that type of thing. So what am I scared of? And then another question to ask yourself when you're in the middle of an emotional disturbance with someone, and it could be someone close to you. Like I said, this could be family, this could be spouse, this could be children. But the question that I like to ask someone when they call me, like if I'm talking to a coaching client or a sponsee, is who are you giving your power to right now? What are you giving your power to right now? And what would it feel like to take your power back? Why do I word it in that way? Because often when we get sidetracked about another person's behavior, we have diminished our self-esteem about our position on something. We have come to believe just a little bit more about what they're saying than what we authentically live. Right? And so we have to kind of bring that power back in and say to ourselves, this is what I believe. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm a confident individual in this area. For example, today, take my power back and be like, I didn't do that. And I don't know what's up with these people saying I did, like in the moment, but taking that power back and not giving the power to the rumor mill, not giving the power to the gossip, not giving your power to the other party and what their opinion is and how they look at things, taking the power back, reminding yourself that you are a confident individual, you can be a decisive individual, and you're not there to live other people's agendas or their experience with you. You are only there to authentically live in your own self-confidence. And so kind of adjusting yourself a little bit and reminding yourself, oh yeah, that's right. I'm just going to take my power back right now. I was kind of giving it away. I was giving my power away to my boss. I was giving my power away to my husband. I was giving my power away to my kids. Maybe, you know, I think I'm going to take that back now. They didn't ask me to give it to them. Remember that. They're not asking you. It may seem like they are. The only person that can turn your power over to somebody else or something else is you. That's it. It's you. Nobody else can do that. And that's also an empowering thought if you think about it, because that means that you are always in control of your own will. Often I will talk to individuals who have fallen into a state of blame and victim about everybody else is responsible for their pain. And sometimes it's a habitual way of living, but ultimately you're the only one that can fix whatever's been done to you. You are the only one that can heal that. And unfortunate things happen to people all the time. And yet we are each only able to solve the problem on our own, even when it's horrendous stuff, right? All right. So now you've calmed down your emotional disturbance. You've asked yourself the questions. You've got a little bit of clarity about what's going on. You've called a friend or a close confidant. You've vented it out. So you might have even gotten some feedback on that call that helped you. And so now what? You still have a little bit of emotional hangover. So this is where it comes into, how do I keep the emotional jacket of the other person off myself? How do I not wear their emotional jacket? If you've heard me share about this topic, this really is another way of describing codependency and the way in which we will wear another person's emotions and somehow almost like smother ourselves like a heavy jacket. And we're just walking around. Like today, I was walking around with somebody else's doubt in my sobriety. I just put that coat on. I was wearing it. And then I was justifying it. And then I knew I wasn't supposed to have the coat on. I knew it wasn't my doubt. It wasn't my coat. But boy, I was wearing that coat. And then I started getting mad. Then I started getting angry about wearing the coat. And then I was mad at the person who approached me, right? And then I was story about that person. And then pretty soon I was mad at the other person that person included in on the gossip story. And so now I've got all these jackets on and I'm hot, I'm sweaty. I'm like, oh my God, I'm calling people. I'm yelling about the jacket. The point is, we want to learn how not to put on the emotional jacket. Like, that's the trick. You know, recognize it's coming. Recognize somebody's maybe hanging, somebody else is crazy. He's got this nice little jacket. They're just dangling it in front of you. And learning to be like, you know what? You keep that jacket. You know what? That's not going to work for me. How do we do that? I'm going to lean back into the stories that we tell ourselves in order to keep that jacket off. Look at the environment in which you're within. Just look at the environment with which you're in. For example, in the rooms of recovery, one of the things that we will say, and a lot of you hear me talk about the filter that I use with the rooms of recovery, because that is the foundation of a lot of my emotional and mental growth back in the day. And that's been applauded upon and enhanced with therapy and self-discovery and self-development and all that good stuff, right? But one of the things that we'll say in the rooms of recovery is these are not rooms of wellness. And so don't assume that everybody's going to always behave in appropriate ways, because we are all suffering from the pains of growing up. Now, that's what we say in the rooms of recovery. But I'm just thinking that maybe in the real world, that same understanding could go a long way in giving each other the benefit of the doubt. Or once again, that thing I'm going to be talking about more of, a little bit of grace. So when we say that in the rooms of recovery, it's kind of like a nice reminder, like, oh, okay, this isn't personal. People are also suffering from the pains of growing up. And the more that I realize that, and the more that I let that kind of sink down after all that emotional disturbance has been processed, and I've kind of got to take a look at my part in the story and why that was affecting me so much, that's kind of like the icing on the cake. It's kind of like, you know, it's just kind of, okay, all right. Then I get to come back and acknowledge how devastating or how bad I might have felt based on somebody else's action towards me. I was just talking with somebody today that had called and was stuck on something that happened with somebody. And I was simply stating that when somebody doesn't make it emotionally safe to express how something made you feel. So for example, somebody says something to you and it hurts your feelings and you think it's appropriate in that time to say, you know what, that really made me feel sad. And this other person, because they are all ramped up or whatever they are, right? They're a little bit crazy in that moment, takes that feeling and they throw it back at your face. You ever had that happen? Do you ever tell somebody how something made you feel, thinking that maybe that was, you know, you're expressing yourself appropriately, and then the other party just throws it right back at you in your face? All right. So sometimes it's just a nice idea, maybe more than sometimes, to just honor within yourself when you're doing that little bit of reflection and you're thinking about taking that emotional jacket off and say, well, that really made me feel sad that after, like for me today, that really, made me feel sad and a little bit frustrated that after what I have shown up in these rooms for these many years and done X, Y, and Z, that somebody would still feel the need to say things about me that aren't true. You know, like that just didn't feel fair, you know, didn't feel fair. And I get to acknowledge that on my own about the feelings that have been affected or how it made me feel, so that I don't just cover it up and kind of stuff that feeling down. Like, I can bring the feeling up, I can acknowledge the feeling. And I would encourage anybody, if you're not used to recognizing what you're feeling, Google feeling words, get used to a new vocabulary around the feeling words, because ultimately, when we don't understand what we're feeling on the inside, it's I just don't think we know how to identify it, because we don't have the vocabulary sometimes. You know, it's why we listen to shows like this. It's why we listen to podcasts. It's why we work with people, because they can tend to sometimes say what we're feeling. They have a way of expressing similar situations that then identify within us like, oh, that's validating, because that's exactly how that felt. But you can be your own advocate with your feelings. You just simply sometimes need to expand your vocabulary to start to identify what's going on the inside of you in order to do so. So for today, for me, I got to take a look at just how devastating gossip can be, you know? And here's another one. For there go I, right? Like, I'm not an angel. I've gossiped. I've said things. And yet when you're on the receiving end of the behavior, doesn't feel so good. And so just acknowledging the feeling, how that feels, and then recognizing that a little bit. Another thing to consider when we're dealing with other people's crazy is at the end of the day, you are completely powerless over other people's behaviors. You know, there's a reason why the steps of recovery, number one, is we were powerless over X, Y, and Z, and therefore our life became unmanageable, right? So we are powerless over other people's behaviors. And the more that we try to control other people's behaviors, maybe by expressing how they make us feel, maybe by withholding, you know, withhold some words because you didn't want the impact to quite be, you know? You curbed a little bit of what was really going on because you were worried about how they were going to react to you. Now, many of us grew up professionals in that area. If we were raised in alcoholic homes or abusive homes or intimidating homes, you know, one parent or the other parent was overwhelmingly intimidating. So therefore we would learn to navigate the emotional environment, withhold something that was bothering us, you know, not say something for fear of rocking the boat or now having to deal with their emotional, you know, outlash, you know, that type of thing. Recognizing that we are completely powerless over somebody else's behavior and that it has nothing to do with us is absolutely a step in dealing with somebody else's crazy. You know, you're not responsible for their crazy. You know, this is, you know, good old codependency 101. If we can apply it, you know, we are powerless over another person's behavior. The only thing that we have control over is our behavior. And sometimes when we're doing our best to control our own behavior or our own responses to somebody else's crazy, we do get stomped on sometimes. It's happened to me. And I'll be thinking, God, I thought I was doing so good with my communication. I thought I was really, you know, on fire here. And yet when I go to communicate, I get that tossed back at me and it doesn't feel so good. It doesn't feel so good. All right. So where are we at here? So how we're not wearing the emotional jacket. Okay. The next one would be, this one is going to kind of go along with how do you communicate or what do you need to communicate to the other person? And it's kind of like all in the ballpark. So let's say you've got a personality that is intimidating or you have a personality that you feel that you're almost hopeless in the idea that they're going to respond in a healthy way. So number one, I would recommend that you pause and consider what your impact is on that relationship. I've talked a lot in other shows about the impact that we can have on our relationships. Sometimes we don't understand the impact or the influence that we have, but just kind of check that a little bit and understand what our role is in that relationship. Because understanding what my role is in the relationship or what my impact or influence may be in that relationship kind of helps me understand what are the words that I'm going to choose to have in this communication if it's going to be a challenging communication. I had to have a communication today after the fact with some individuals who this all came about. Now, I did not want to. I woke up today happy today, folks. I was like singing and dancing. This was not on my agenda to have challenging conversations or what I perceived to be challenging conversations, right? But I had to take a look and ask myself, what were the priorities and why was I going to be doing this and why was it important to me? Was it going to help calm that emotional disturbance? Was it going to help bring some closure to me? Was it going to help me stabilize and make sure that I retained my power? And then I would kind of take a look at what is my influence among others? You know, what are my communication? Like for example, you walk into a meeting, let's say Joyce Meyer did a really fantastic, I'll just mention Joyce Meyer. I used to listen to her back in the day and she was doing this sermon on behaviors. And she was talking about how we really have, you know, control over our behaviors, but also the influence that we can carry. And she was talking about being at home, ranting and raving on the kids. The house isn't cleaned up enough. I mean, the way she expressed it, she must have been a real control freak about messes. You know, yelling at the kids, going all crazy. You know, who knows what she was saying. And then the doorbell rings. And here she's all frantic and yelling, and she opens the door, and it's the priest, or it's the father, or the, what do they call, pastor, Christian pastor. And immediately she changed her behavior. It was like, well, hello, how are you? Oh, everything's fine here. And just like a light switch, changed it off. Because see, the pastor had an influence on her that went above and beyond her emotional disturbance that she was experiencing with her children and not picking up their messes. So sometimes we have an influence upon others that's there that we don't quite understand or appreciate what's going on for them and how it's going to be changing them. And so before engaging in a communication with somebody, I do take a look at what my perceived influence might be. And just take a look at who you are in that environment. Take a look at who you are in that relationship. Take a look and just kind of do your best to kind of just a simple little self-check. Nothing major. Doesn't mean you're going to be right. But never underestimate the intuitive thinking that may come along with that, because you might have a clue. And so now you're going to be communicating with the other person. Perhaps you're going to be acknowledging or setting some boundaries, actually, right? You know, it's amazing sometimes, and I'll put it in this context, in the rooms of recovery, so alcoholism, right? So we will say things like, how is the ism impacting the relationship? Now, the ism for some people maybe not be addiction or anything like that. It might just be sheer intimidation. It might be brutal communication. I'm not a psychologist. I think this word is overused way too much, but to make a point, I'm just going to make the point, because sometimes what's alive in social media, it resonates with people because everybody's talking about it. If you have narcissism coming up, at least that's what you think, right? Now, I'm real careful to use that because I really am not a trained psychologist right now. So I'm just going off, you know, I think we kind of sort of all agree maybe what that could mean. But do you have an ism of some sort that's impacting the communication? So for example, as much as there's a rumor going on about me, blah, 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 I got to the bottom of it today. But what I like to say is, isn't it interesting how the ism can stop us from really reaching out and asking somebody, is this true? Instead, we might choose to gossip or stir the pot or do whatever we're doing. But recognizing how the ism has impacted the relationship more so than even the other person at times. Just a nice way for me to kind of like take me and the other party, whoever's crazy I'm perceivingly dealing with, and kind of put the blame in a way more on the dysfunction than on the individual. And it really does kind of come back to the, for there go I. You know, have I gossiped before? Have I emotionally manipulated before? Have I had outbursts and intimidated people before? I mean, whatever the thing is there something within me that can say and acknowledge I've been guilty of that same type of behavior before entering the communication? Because what can happen is you're then giving the other party a benefit of the doubt, and it might just calm the energies enough so that you can have a productive communication than one that's going to end up blowing up. The next thing I would like to say is, if you've got something that dealing with somebody else is crazy and the person for the most part is somebody that you can talk to, I would encourage you to talk to them. And remember that sometimes we're as sick as our secrets. So when we harbor our communication, I've talked a lot about this one also, sometimes it's just literally an ability to express. Now, real careful to say, make sure that whatever's going on here, I'm not talking about extreme abuse situations. Okay. I'm not talking about extremes on that. And I'm talking about day-to-day relationships where stuff gets sideways. We have a bump in the road, and instead of dealing with the bump, we stuff it. We devalue ourselves enough, or we devalue the other person. We don't give them credit for being an adult and being able to handle communication. So we avoid it. We never talk about it. It becomes a harbored secret that we're not confronting or dealing. And so therefore we're never letting somebody understand what our limits are. And we are not communicating how their behavior makes us feel. Understanding, okay, here's the thing with the communication. Understanding that when we communicate with someone, as much as we hope that there's going to be a solution for both parties so that everybody benefits, I mean, that would be the ideal situation, wouldn't you agree? That's kind of the root of the desire. But understanding that when we do that, the other individual may not behave like we want them to. And so our expectations sometimes are, well, around our communication, understanding that the expectation, a healthy expectation for me, and at least is my opinion, is really more about expressing myself in an appropriate way and being able to set limits if it's needed. And if I feel comfortable enough expressing how somebody else's behavior made me feel, knowing full well that once I express, once I communicate, it is completely out of my hands, because what's that number one rule? Because I'm powerless over other people's behaviors and thoughts. I am powerless over other people's behaviors and thoughts. Sometimes, I'll go on this one, and then I'm going to take a short break, and then I'll wrap up the show. Sometimes we can get stuck in a cycle of trying to figure out why they did what they did. How many overthinkers do I got out there who have become psychoanalyzers because you've been watching, you know, some Instagram post on other, you know, or watching show, whatever, you've gone into dissection mode that you think you know why people do what they do, and you get stuck in that mode so much that you have done made up a story that's grandiose about why people behave, and you got stuck there. It'll sound something like, well, I think, like, okay, I'll give you an example of mine today because that's the easiest one to go off. Well, I think he might have been saying that to me because of X, Y, and Z, and he had his own personal experience, and this other person might have been saying that maybe because of X, Y, and Z, and, you know, maybe somebody's ego got in there. That's a story I'm telling myself. That is an absolute story. I don't know why people do what they do. I don't know, and neither do you. I do not know. People have life experiences that have nothing to do with you. Nothing. They wake up, they brush their teeth, they get dressed, they maybe eat, they go out the door. Maybe they experience bad traffic. Maybe they have a fantastic commute. I don't know. Maybe they win the lottery. Maybe they're going bankrupt that day. I don't know. But they are having a whole slew of experiences that have nothing to do with you. They have nothing to do with me. So who am I to say that I think I know why somebody's doing what they're doing, right? That's like putting on some imaginary psychology hat and you know, do behaviors tell a lot about a person? Yes, they do. But that still doesn't say why they do it. Behaviors might give an example whether you want to hang out with somebody, but you don't know why they behave that way, because you weren't there during their childhood, maybe. You weren't there for every life experience. The same way nobody knows what you're thinking or why you do everything, you know? That's why it is so important that when we get into these emotional disturbances and dealing with other people's crazy, that we are very careful not to slip into thinking we know why they do what they do, because here's the deal, it does not matter. It does not matter why they do it. The point is, if it doesn't feel good to you, you get to have a responsibility to do something with that feeling, that emotional disturbance, so that you can heighten yourself to a new level of satisfaction. Okay, now I'm going to go to break. I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, I am going to close the show talking about a topic that can bring some spirituality, maybe a little softness to the party today, to talk about how do I get back after all this stuff. After I've calmed the emotional disturbance, I've called my friends, I've vented, I've thought it out, I've kind of done this little checklist. How do I get back to my peaceful place so that I can lay it down and not have to rethink it, not have to mentally masturbate it, and just let it go? How do I do that? What's the icing on the cake? All right, so if you want to know the answer, then stick around, because I will be back shortly and I will talk about that. In the meantime, also, if you are looking for a coach, I have got end of the year specials coming up. So nice Christmas present for somebody. Maybe you've got someone in your life, or maybe a couple is out there and they're wanting to really work on some emotional development. Maybe it's communication tools between the both of you. Maybe it's goal setting for the couple. What kind of things would you like to achieve together in the year 2024? When's the last time as a couple you gave yourself credit for being a team? I could go on and on about this. And as individuals, what do your goals look like for 2024? If you are interested in any type of coaching, feel free to reach out to me on my website at susandene.com. Click on the email, shoot me an email. I'll be more than happy to get back to you and discuss some of those offers with you. All right, be back shortly. It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy,
crazy.
With me, Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDene.com. That's DENEE.com.
Are you ready to create your marvelous life? As women, we can feel the pressure to make sure everyone else is okay before we take care of ourselves. That needs to stop. Hi, I'm spiritual coach Lori Jonas, and I'm empowering women to unleash their authentic selves and live marvelously. It's time to get clear on what you want in life. Check out my blog, coaching packages, manifestation journal, my book, The 5 L's of Living Marvelously, and more on my website, livingmarvelously.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know You're Crazy show, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's topic, dealing with other people's crazy, how it affects you, what you do about it, and how you change intrinsically in order to take full control of your life and to elevate yourself so that you can have more satisfying relationships and so that you get to look at your own behavior when other people's behavior becomes uncomfortable for you, because that is the root of the solution. It's going to be all about you and the change that you make. Because as I've said in the first 45 minutes of the show, probably a few times, you are completely powerless over other people's behaviors. You are only powerful over your own behavior. Getting to the root of that and what you need to do to change is where the homework lies for you. So after going through the first part of the show and talking about what it may look like with an emotional disturbance, some different ideas to kind of ask yourself some questions about what's going on within you. I've gave tips and tools all throughout the show. Now let's put some icing on the cake to wrap it up. So you've done your homework, you've looked at your emotional disturbance, you've gotten to a place where you've communicated or you're willing to communicate. How do you take the knife out of your back? I mean, these people have been behaving like this for maybe sometimes years, months, and you're just frustrated, you're overwhelmed, and you've got a little bit of trepidation and you're having a hard time forgiving. You know, how do we get to that place? You know, ironically, yesterday I was talking with my therapist. I love talking to my therapist. I love intrinsically exploring about what's going on with me. That's why you get such feedback for me on these shows, because everything that I'm sharing with you and the homework that I do with couples, either I'm teaching it, I'm learning it, or I'm investigating it. And sometimes it all starts with me, right? And so in this self-exploration at the end of our call, I was telling her that I'm looking in a particular area of my life to stop a ton of the volunteer work that I've been doing. And so she's helping me process this and talk it through. And I'm excited to learn about myself in this arena. But as we hang up, or as we're getting ready to end the call, she says to me, I'd like you to journal on grace. Just grace. Grace with yourself. And in my context for this show today, not only grace with yourself, but grace for another person. Saying the word grace and practicing grace are two different things. You know, saying I've got patience, but actually practicing patience are two different things. You know, grace with myself means that I give myself a little bit of a break. You know, today as I was fueled with anger and just raw emotion, I got to that place, I think I was talking to my husband about it, of just getting to that place of grace with myself. Like, it's okay. It's okay that you feel hurt by this. And it's okay that you feel overwhelmed by this and that behavior. Just give yourself a little bit of grace. You're not supposed to be superhuman. Perfectionism is the root of a lot of our problems when we're trying to color inside those lines, and we get tired of trying to be a perfectionist. Just give yourself a little bit of grace. And when you can tap into that compassion for yourself, then you get to look at the other individuals in your life and say, now I get to give them grace. I get to give the person grace today that was doing perceivably what they thought was appropriate for me. I ended up having a beautiful conversation with another person involved, and we were actually able to laugh and joke. But before I had that phone call today, I tapped into grace and said, even if this person's motives were not what I desire, let me give them some grace. For there go I. For there go I. For maybe I've had behaviors like that in my past that hasn't exactly been great. I'm going to give them a little bit of grace. Grace happens to give us some space, acceptance, and room to take a step back and practice self-compassion and compassion for others. Grace allows us to easily forgive. Grace allows us to put ourselves in another person's shoes. Now, I always find it interesting for me when I have an experience and it really teaches me what it must be like for somebody else in this circumstance, right? Like, even in a gossip way today for me, like how hurtful that was for me, the emotions that I had to experience. And it really made me, I paused a moment today and I was like, man, gossip is absolutely mean and it's a horrible thing to do to somebody. And it just resonated with me today and probably it will affect my behavior forever. I honestly, because once we really see how something impacts us, then it will open up a door to compassion and love and consideration for other individuals so that we can give them grace. And so if you've been in a spot where somebody else's crazy has tipped you upside down, I hope today's show has been beneficial to you. You get to acknowledge what the emotional disturbance feels like on the inside of you. You get to take a look at what the stories are that's causing that emotional disturbance. What are your beliefs about the person and all the situations attached to it? You get to look at the stories and the historical data that you've piled up maybe about that person or that situation. You get to ask yourself, have I effectively communicated? And when I do go to effectively communicate with somebody, have I rested the emotional disturbance enough so that I can have a productive communication? And have I reset my expectations to understand that when I go to communicate with this individual, I'm doing it as an opportunity to express myself versus harbor anything, not with the expectation that it's going to change them. Because number one, we are powerless over other people's behaviors. We are powerful over our own. We have insight and control over our own behaviors. We can set our intent. We can do things differently. But we are powerless over somebody else's behavior. So learning to set those expectations with appropriateness goes a long way. And then afterwards, even if you don't get to communicate with somebody, how do you put the icing on the cake and come take that emotional disturbance and settle it all the way down and give the person some grace, give yourself some grace, take it easy, understand that this too shall pass. All is well, right here, right now, everything's okay. I can do this. I'm a confident individual. I just have a little bit of a learning curve in this area, and that's okay. And I will wrap up, when you become emotionally disturbed, for me, it's just a sign that I have not arrived. I've still got some work to do, and that's okay because I'm a human being. I'm going to give myself some grace. All right, folks, it's been a fantastic show for me today. Hopefully it was for you. Once again, if you're looking for any type of coaching, I'm doing some end of the year specials. Feel free to reach out to me at my website at susandene.com. And good luck with all the relationships in your life. May you have a blessed evening and see you next week. Bye.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. tune in to transformationtalkradio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDenae.com. That's Susan Denae, D-E-N-E-E.com.